Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Wailing Wade, Cillian Nip Appreciator, explains twitching butts, cleave cam, and reports on a bad tutor. Migratory Mark marvels at IMAXes, explains massive holes, and gets into big cameras. Battered Bob is the hottest sailor, fails to bluff Bach, derides poor professors, and has high lick standards. From Iron Lung spoilers to silver medals. Yes! It's time for No Topic Left Beef. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, night, everyone. Welcome back to Distractable. I'm today's host and person with the inability to speak normally, Wade. Hope you're all having a fantastic day. Shut up, co-host.
Sorry, that just fucking killed me for some reason.
You've never been here before. This is the show where one of us hosts, the other two compete for points, and the winner gets to host the next episode. And usually they get to their intros uninterrupted, but today I do not.
Well, I don't know if that's a usual parameter.
How are you doing, fellows? Mark and Bob, my co-host, I introduced you. I don't know, this has been a mess.
I'm once again in a new space.
Wow, it looks like there's a carrot smoking wheat behind you.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah, Wade told this really hilarious joke right before recording started about this carrot that was smoking on some wheat. It was so funny. We were laughing.
I almost didn't make it.
Is it your space?
It's Airbnb. It's an Airbnb that's right over the airport. It's great.
You got your own planes and whatnot? That's pretty fancy.
I suppose in the final stages of movie nonsense, but nearing the finish line.
Yeah, I see you have an official Iron Lung shirt on.
Yeah, I do. There's a large spoiler on the back. I can't turn around no matter what.
Mark, there's a very reflective picture frame behind you spoiling your life's work.
Oh, no. Actually, it's not that big a deal. I could show you if you want. You want to see?
You should show the camera and have the editors. You should just blur it out.
God, I hope they blur. Yeah, so it's...
Oh my God. Is that a carrot?
Is that a carrot smoking wheat? Wow.
I didn't know Iron Lung had carrots.
Mark was actually just misleading. He talked a lot about how much fake blood there was on set. The wheat budget was astronomical.
Are we making wheat a... Never mind. Can't think of the word.
We can talk about weed. We're talking about wheat.
You were the one who said the carrot was sucking on wheat. Was that a substitute for drugs for you?
No, because it's like the stereotypical, like, I don't know, not Western, but like, I don't know, you approach like the old guy at the Southern Saloon. He's got his hat over his head. He's got like wheat in his mouth.
You know. Oh, you're new in town. Oh.
The mysterious stranger voice. Oh, what are you doing here, stranger? Maybe we should have a shootout at high noon.
Bob, what's new with you?
I'm sure listeners can tell I sound a little sick, because I am. I'm going to talk about the baby, so anyone who hates that, sorry. In the last week, we have had possibly the worst night with James, and also three of the best nights of sleep with him, like, since he was born. So it's been a really weird mix of stuff. He's teething right now, and he has, like, three molars coming in all at the same time, which is incredibly painful. And so there was one night, he could not exist without just screaming, because it was, like, agony. Like constant agony, didn't sleep the whole night. It was just him. It was trying to do anything to keep him from just screaming in pain. But then three other nights around that, he has slept for like 8 straight hours without waking up or anything, which is not, he usually wakes up at least a couple times in it. He slept like he was a rock. And it's been weird because those have been fantastic nights. But also I've been sick, so that didn't help me sleep very much. But then the one night where he literally just didn't sleep was just absolute chaos and ruined the next week of everything because my schedule was all off. He was crazy. We didn't sleep. So anyway, we're in a wild time with the baby right now. But he's cute. He's starting to talk. He knows what sound a horse makes.
Oh.
If you look at him, you go, James, what sound does a horse make? He goes, neigh. It's amazing. It's very cute.
Oh, that's cute. Wait, when did he say his first words?
Well, he's been saying like mama and dada 9 or 10 months. He started really saying stuff. But in before the new year, he was talking and saying some stuff. But like his speech is about to explode. He's going to start saying all kinds of stuff.
I don't have any way to segue back into this, but did I mention that B&H was actually nice after the camera purchase? This is,
you did. We talked about that, right? Someone reached out after you smoked them out on our podcast, and then they worked something out for them.
Never, I just reamed them thoroughly. And I got the camera back from Red after the upgrade because they facilitated that for a discount. I've used the shit out of that camera. Just this past week, I probably put about 40 hours on the camera because it already had 12.
How many hours does it get to the gallon?
Gas-powered camera.
Action!
It makes the audio so complicated.
That would make yelling action such more of a boss move.
You know, what's so funny is if you've ever seen a video of an IMAX camera actually going, it's basically a chainsaw. This thing has to chuck film. It's literally... Because it's just so massive, these frames, and the reel is this big, and all these movies are starting to do IMAX now, just because it's like, you know, people really like the big experience.
Is the IMAX one two reels of film too, or is it just an enormous? I know the frames that it shoots on are like,
they're enormous, and also IMAX reels can be multiple huge reels, and these reels are like maybe a meter in diameter, maybe even more than that. Like I don't even know how to scale. I've never seen one in person, but I've seen videos of people loading them into the projector. They are $1 million machines just to project it. It's not an easy thing to do it, but you know, I haven't seen Dune Part 2 or anything like that, and I didn't see Oppenheimer in IMAX, but I've heard just like, man, the experience is so much grander.
Is IMAX just a bigger screen, like, for the viewing experience?
It's a specific camera and film form factor that gives you a different viewing experience, yes.
Do you want the actual technical differences?
No.
I'd be interested. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, he's the host. I can't.
Well, no, I do want to know. I thought you said, do I know what the technical difference is? I don't, but I do want to know.
I thought you were just completely like, nope, let's move on.
Well, I thought he asked if I do know. I'm also an idiot. Please go on.
So, Wade, your camcorder has what's known as a 1-inch sensor.
That's at least average.
Yes, it's very average. You should
keep telling yourself that, buddy.
Yeah, it should be very proud. So a 1-inch sensor, as far as I know, it's not actually 1-inch. They have these weird naming conventions for it, but it might be 1-inch from corner to corner, right? Of the actual size of the sensor itself. It might be 1-inch from corner to corner. Hopefully that's actually what it is. Because sometimes like they have like micro 4/3 and a 1/1/8 inch sensor where they turn the proportion around to make it look like it's bigger than it really is when it's really like, nyum. But in standard movie making, there's what's called Super 35. There's also what's called like Academy 35 format, but roughly they're all about the same, where it's based on the actual film is 35 millimeters from corner to corner or some arrangement of that, but it's about 22 by 18 and a half millimeters end to end, right? So it's about yay big.
It's kind of the size that you imagine film would be.
Yeah, exactly. Now, IMAX is 70 millimeters by 48.5. It's not just double as big because as you grow in volume, or as you grow in these dimensions, the volume grows cubically. Like the actual, or squarely, not cubically. I'm thinking three dimensions. The volume increases at a larger proportional rate to the dimensions of the outer perimeter.
That's in shapes, got it.
When shapes get bigger, their size gets larger. I'm with you.
And so what you're able to capture with this, I'm trying to pull up a picture. There was one that was good in Oppenheimer that showed the actual resolution gain from there. Oh, have you seen it? It's the one of like the close-up of his eye and then it zooms into his eye. Have either of you seen that?
I've not seen the movie or no, I've not seen anything really yet.
I'll leave it to the editors because I don't think I'll be able to find it in time. I'm only on a laptop. I don't have a second monitor.
I lied to you.
No, they're going to see it. The editors are going to put it in there.
I won't.
All right. So I'm going to paint you a visual story. You're like the listeners, right? You got to listen. It's a picture here of, well, you could look at me because I'm your reference.
Well, then I'm not a listener. All right. You know what? Everyone come to Spotify so you can look at Mark.
So imagine a picture of Cillian Murphy. Oppenheimer, right?
Is that how you pronounce his name? I thought it was Killian. Is it Cillian?
Killian Murphy.
Hey Siri, how do you pronounce Killian Murphy's name? It is with a hard C. It's Killian Murphy.
All right. It's of his, it's like a, you know, a bust shot from the nips to the tips of his head, right? With IMAX, you can zoom in on the eye, and in this image, there is like a.
What about the nips?
His nips. From nips to the tips of his head.
You can zoom in on those too, right?
We're not zooming on his nips. He's got a shirt on. Anyway, you zoom in on his eye, and the IMAX, you can zoom in all the way on his eye from a normal shot that was shot that size, and you can see the details of the reflection of his eye. That is the resolution of IMAX film versus Super 35 format. But it's not just that that changes the perspective of what you're seeing, because there is an entirely different depth of field experience when you are dealing with larger sensor formats. So what you call on most cameras, you have an f-stop in film cameras, right? So you have an f-stop, which is just it's a mathematical interpretation for an easy number that goes down the more open the aperture is, and it goes up the closed it is. So it's like an f-22 is a really narrow thing. You have a really really deep depth of field. Most everything is in focus, but there's not a lot of light coming through. With a IMAX film strip, you have a huge circle, an image circle that's coming through onto there. The depth of field is incredibly thin sometimes. If it's wide open, the depth of field is like this. So it creates this, it's just a totally different perspective of how you are looking at things, because things will be more out of focus in the distance than they are. And usually, not always, but usually cinematic looks are based on depth of field and framing and shot composition based on how that depth of field is treated, or lighting is based around that. And you have to light differently in terms of these massive aperture, because more light is going in. But also the film needs more light, because more light has to cover a larger surface area. It's all a balance, and it creates a different look. It's a lot of people might go like, well, it's not that different. Well, it's fundamentally different. There's an entire different kind of calculations you have to make based on all the different parameters. You have to treat it differently. You have to do it differently. You have to use different lenses. I'm not trying to talk about lenses, but literally the lenses for this have to be custom made and massive, because most of them are meant for film cameras. They're meant for shooting on this. Their actual image circles are not this big. And so you have to have all this different equipment. And what it does is it creates an entirely different viewing experience. And also it's 3x2. Usually when it's projected in IMAX, it's 3x2. So usually if you think of old TVs, it was 4x3. So it was a square-ish look to it. 3x2 is actually less square than 4x3, but it's not 16x9. 3x2 is 1.5 aspect ratio, right? 1.79 is 16x9. 2.35 is typical widescreen cinematic. Those are the aspect ratios, the ratio of how wide it is to how tall it is. 2.35 is it's 2.35 long to one tall. 16x9 is 1.8-ish. So 1.8 times as long as one tall, 1.5 times as one tall.
As a quick aside, I realized those different resolutions recently and how like much I've adapted to the more widescreen format. And the reason I bring that up, Molly has been reading a bunch. She reads tons of books. And apparently a couple of her books mentioned like a 90s show that lasted two seasons that came back in 2017 for like one season called Twin Peaks. You ever heard of Twin Peaks?
Oh yeah, Twin Peaks, yeah.
I had never seen it. We'd never seen it. So we started watching it, and it was so weird seeing a square show on like a rectangular monitor again. And I remember whenever we first went to like the widescreen format, I was like very like opposed. I like the symmetry of the square look. But going back, I was like, oh, this is terrible. God, it's so horrible.
Wayne hates everything new.
I do hate everything new.
The square is now new, so Wayne hates the square. When the square was not new and the rectangle was new, God damn you, rectangle.
Well, I mean, it's just symmetrical, and I like symmetry.
Old man yells at cloud meme is just Wade's entire existence.
Look, I don't know. Movies always were widescreen, though. TVs were made. I don't know why. I think it might have been with cathode ray technology. It couldn't project wider. Oh, no, I guess it could. It would just be a smaller. I don't know why they went square for TV. It's because theaters were almost. Well, actually, no. Maybe old theaters. I can't speak because I'm not an expert in this, but I don't know when the switch. The differentiation came between those.
This says, this is a Quora answer, so take that with it. This says 4:3 aspect ratio was copied from the standard movie aspect at the time in the late 1940s.
Right. That I did know this because, yeah, they were 4x3, and then people wanted more width. That's how anamorphics came into play, because film was always squarish, 4x3 or 3x2, little squares, because that's just the way it was. It was more efficient to do it that way for the image. And then if they wanted a wider one, they would use anamorphic lens to squeeze light from the sides to fit on the square, and then they would use an anamorphic projector to project it back and stretch it out. And that's how you got a wider screen. So widescreen actually might be the outlier, but it was stylistically nice because you just got more information on that screen.
More sideways, not as much up and down as you might like.
Yeah, we want vertical movies.
Wait, can I just say that I'm incredibly disappointed you didn't make an anamorph joke when Mark kept saying the word anamorphic?
It came to mind. I pictured it.
I know it did.
I think it's one of the first 10 books where like Jake turns into like a leopard and they go to some forest. I read it 30 years ago, so I don't really remember a whole lot about it, but that's always the book cover comes to mind.
Nice lens chat, Mark.
Thanks. I always managed to work it in.
It is interesting, though. I think film in the process of like how things have changed, and then going back and watching something from the 90s, and even just like the campy 90s style of drama, like Twin Peaks, there's an FBI agent and he is like so stereotypically like 90s FBI agent that it's like obscene. Watching people with their like corded rotary phones, it was like, oh, the good old days.
The only thing I know about Twin Peaks is that there's an episode of Psych where they solve a crime, a mystery in a town called Dual Spires, and it's like a riff on Twin Peaks, and that's so I only know like the weird Psych meme references to that show. I've never seen it, but it looks super weird.
Yeah, we've only watched one episode so far, and it's, you know, a drama, 90s like murder mystery drama type deal, very stereotypical characters, even more so than today. Like, you are very cast into your role. If you're the FBI agent, you wear a suit, you have like your talking thing, you're above everybody, like, I don't know, you're just so over and above your role. It's really funny.
Amy's a big fan of Twin Peaks. We haven't watched it together, though, which is something she wants to do. But the director, what's the director of that's name? He's pretty famous for being like a out there stylistically director.
It was directed by David Lynch.
Absolutely. That was like his start. And yeah, he's done a whole bunch of stuff. And he has a very specific style, kind of like, Wes Anderson has a specific style. Not that their styles are similar, but you get a director and it's like very, just like even Dune's director, Denis
Villeneuve. Dennis Villain or whatever, got it.
He has a very specific style, and you know his style comes across, and I think that movies nowadays, I was watching a video that was talking about this, is like it should allow directors to embrace their style instead of being like just try to, you know, least common denominator.
Oh, he also did Blade Runner 2049. That's the one.
Yeah, so he's done a lot of those really grand set pieces, and you know that lends well to IMAX. He also has a certain pacing that, you know, not a lot of people like, because he likes to take his time. His movies are typically longer, but they're beautiful. Like, that's the thing, is like, I like seeing beautiful imagery in movies. I like seeing grand worlds because I want to be pulled into that world. And I think like all these movies are trying to break down the barriers of seeing into these worlds and allowing yourself to be immersed. Just like with games, is like, it's not that it needs to be pretty, but sometimes you want to just feel like you're in that world, and a lot of the work going into it, you know, can be spent in the wrong places to like make these cinematics in games. Whereas like a cinematic is a storytelling tool that directors for movies usually do to get people into it. But for games, it's like it's the experience of actually playing in that world that gets people into it. So it's different. But, you know, it's all about like specific art direction and vision and cohesiveness in that vision.
Well, I do have a topic, unless y'all want to talk about anything else before I hop in.
Did you talk about the hot tubs?
So there was a moment where Twitch had allowed limited amounts of adult content, right? I don't know what exactly they allowed or didn't allow, but it lasted all of like a day before they got rid of it or changed it, right?
You're talking about the artistic nudity rules change that they did and then undid?
I don't know what all was allowed or not allowed because it didn't really affect me much, but I know that like a lot of thumbnails on Twitch were like just nude this, nude that, and apparently Twitch backtracked. They're like, oh, this is bad, we gotta get rid of it. So they changed it.
Bob, what are you wiping?
Sorry.
I thought that had changed how some other things had worked, because I know I've had some friends that had emotes, for example, where it was like a dog's butt or something. It was called like a dumpy emote, or, you know, booty little whatever. And Twitch had started getting rid of those emotes. They were like, no, these emotes aren't appropriate. You can't have a dog wagging its butt, or you can't have this, no butts. Well, I was talking to Bob, and there was like a recommended hot tub stream, and I was like, well, I don't know what you can even do on those anymore, because I thought they'd change the rules. So I opened it up to take a look, because I was just curious. And boy, oh boy, was I surprised whenever there were two cameras. One of them was an oiled, literally just an oiled up zoom in on someone's butt, and the other one was like them in the, you know, the front face with them there. It definitely wasn't like a swimsuit. It was definitely underwear, standing there talking. But they weren't even in a hot tub. They were just standing somewhere with covered in oil, which, you know, I don't care. Twitch can allow nudity. They cannot allow nudity. It doesn't affect me. I don't care. I'm going to keep making normal clothed gaming content because that's just what I do.
Boring.
It did strike me as odd that there was just like with maybe a quarter inch of cloth, naked girl butt, but you can't have an emote of a dog shaking its butt or just a like an emote of an animated character or whatever, like a non-even sexualized butt. It was just an interesting contrast in my mind, because I feel like if you're going to allow a real human butt to be shown completely barren, you would allow an emote of whatever. I'm not saying ban the butt, you can, but I don't get the discrepancy there.
No, you're onto something. I like Wade's latest rallying cry. Ban the butt! Ban the butt!
I think that we can all get behind this.
Subreddit, support him!
I have to say, Wade, I was gonna let you dig your own hole before I said anything. The thing you're talking about, as far as I understand it, had no impact on hot tub streaming.
Oh, okay. I must have dreamed that then.
It was a rule allowing like artistic nudity, which expanded the people were sort of taking advantage of it to be like, well, isn't porn art? This is my art, right? Because this, if you make sexual content, then that is your...
People had to push the limits the moment the rule came to see, yeah.
Yeah, so immediately Twitch was like, oh, not that! And then they backtracked on the rule change that they did. But like the hot tub stuff, that's always been, that's not going anywhere. That's a core part of Twitch, Wade. That's like the good stuff, you know? They're not getting bad.
That reminded me, I saw someone retweeted this literally the other day. You know how the VTubers are becoming a bigger thing? People have like their VTuber avatars, and a lot of them are kind of like busty anime girls. There was a VTube screenshot of like this person with like their busty anime girl in the corner, but the screen was their torso zoomed in, and they had like chroma keyed out the skin color of the boobs, and you watched the gameplay through the see-through cleavage while their full skin was in the bottom. So it was like their body, the line of like the breast, and this is where you saw the game being played.
That's very funny.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This is not related at all, but I just want to throw this out there. On the subreddit, someone posted a drawing of us as like Sailor Moon character type looking things. And I just want to say, of the three of us, I was the hot one, and thank you. like we were all hot, but I was the hottest one, and I appreciate you. If I was prepared, I would have their username, but you know who you are.
It was on the subreddit?
Go to the subreddit. It's a picture of the three of us as like Sailor Moon, and I'm hot.
House_Staber69, is that the one?
Probably.
If it's Sailor Moon art, yeah.
Oh, but I'm on r/Sailor Moon, not r/Distractible. No, u/MCR-G-note.
Did you just shout out a random username from someone who made Sailor Moon art that wasn't even us?
I think someone else posted their artwork on a different thing. I don't know how this works, man. I don't read it very often.
You don't say the U. I just want to, it's fine.
Well, it's got a U slash and then the MCR dash. Why is a slash bad but a dash good?
They all have U slash. That's the format of usernames.
I don't know that because I don't read it much.
No, that's the format of internet URLs in general. You should know that forward slashes are a separator between, oh man.
Only Sith speak in absolutes.
I mean, we've had a subreddit for years. I'm not saying that you have to learn, but you've had so much time to learn.
It's like, you know, this is just he's a toddler that's learned there's an expression that sometimes gets him what he wants, and it was always subreddit defend me, and he just started shouting that, and then things happen, and so confirmation bias just led him to be like, that if I say that, then that'll get me good results.
I mean, I go there, I look, and they say nice things about me mostly, and minus like the three people that are like, you know what, everyone else here is wrong, fuck Wade, Mark and Bob are always right. Yeah, except for your guys' alt accounts, everyone else is on my side.
Anyway.
All right, we have about 20 minutes here to do an actual episode.
No, but what about talking about VTubers? Because I was going to talk about the I saw a video.
You know what? Sure, I'll save this. I'll button this one. Let's go ahead. VTubers.
I was doing, like, have you seen videos that look at how complex those VTuber models are? The number of parameters that are listed in like the skeletal structures on those models. I can't explain it in like specific terms, or maybe it's not that grandiose, but I saw like it was on TikTok or something, and someone just like scrolling and all these lists of things that were physically movable or had like some kind of physicality to them on the models, and like the different layers of it and how to get different costuming to work in there. It's extremely complex.
Yeah, they get pretty intricate, man.
Yeah, and the way that it can like real-time motion capture for that, even in movies, that's difficult. Like, even in movies, that can be a difficult process, and there's so much pioneering going on in this world of motion capture for VTubers that it is expanding in a way that it makes it more accessible for home filmmakers to have motion capture of that level. It's kind of crazy to even think about, but it's true. And then you can have an absolutely intricate model that moves in the way that you want it to move and do whatever it is. And you have artists that like spend hundreds of hours making these things. And it's just like, it's just an incredibly complex thing that you never thought would be at this point, but that's kind of just how humans do. It's like we just elevate way past where it needs to be.
I wonder if we're gonna get to the point where like at home people have to do makeup like they do for motion capture. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched the behind the scenes, like when they were making The Last of Us, but they have to wear like the head rigs, and you know, I'm sure it's very common, but like that's the example I can think of. They have, like, the dots all over everything for the capture points. Like, imagine like getting ready to stream and you're like, all right, here's my head rig, here's my dots, and all right, here's my Joel from Last of Us avatar.
I mean, I'm sure that some people did because back, but not anymore, I don't think, because nowadays you can just take like webcam footage and get a perfect match of everything that you need.
Well, and a lot, like Gordor's been doing this forever. The technology that's in the iPhone Face ID stuff, the depth mapping that has, it's like you don't need the dots. It has an incredibly accurate 3D depth mapping thing of your face.
It's always one of those things where the top end is always going to rise at a pretty much stable rate, but the bottom end of like the most accessible version of it goes down, actually, where you can get access to it. So like the average, or it pulls everyone up. It's like a curve on a test where it's like the higher up it goes, and then the more people innovate from the bottom is like the curve, and everyone can get close enough to like 80% of where movies are is closing in on that gap. And that's how technology can help individual creators. And this is a sphere where it is interesting. There are certain other, you know, you could talk about VTubers on a grand scale of like, they're taking our camera based creators jobs, but I think technologically it's very cool to see how this gets pushed, because the more tools that are in people's pockets for individual creativity, the better, in my opinion.
That reminded me, I don't know why this is completely unrelated, but this is Distractible. This is a show where we get distracted. In fourth grade, our teacher gave us a social studies test, but she accidentally gave us the wrong one. So it was a test for subject matter we hadn't covered yet. After we took the test, she showed us the curve. The average, I think, was like a 46%, because it was multiple choice, so like people just guessed. So the average was 46. One student had a 96% on the test. And that's how the teacher figured out they were cheating on things. It was because everyone flunked and then one kid got a 96. But like, you saw all of the dots over here. The average was like up here. And then there was one person way over here by themselves with a 96%.
Dude, you just know all the like A, straight A students in that class. They were like, all right, I'm ready for this. Sat down, get their pencil out. And they look at the test and they're just like... Oh God. There's like mental breakdowns happening internally.
And that ripples out from everyone looking over at them going like, oh no.
Yeah. I always cheat off them.
I don't know. Like, I've never had that experience. Not to go off on more tangents, but I've never had that experience in school where I look at a test in high school, in college, in engineering school. Yes, absolutely. I've flipped over a test and I've been like, what was that even taught? But in high school, I've never had that experience where I flip over a test and I didn't know at least somewhat of what was being talked about there. Because I can't imagine. Because if you guess at a multiple choice test, you just completely guess, you should average out to 50%. You should. No, actually, no, you should average to 25%.
A, B, C, D, 50%.
Well, there's always two right answers. Am I right?
Two wrongs make a right.
Well, either way, it's like, I feel like I've never flipped over a test in high school and been like, oh, I'm fucked. It's like, they tell you what's going to be on the test, and then you just glance at what that is, and then you take the test. You don't even need to really study that hard, because you can get 80%.
I'm totally with you, Mark. That's how I am. I think I've told this story. I have one time where I was struck by that in my entire life, and it scared the shit out of me. I don't think it works that way for everybody. I think other people need a lot more preparation. I have literally gone into a test where all I did was like skim the book and not, I hadn't paid a single ounce of attention. And I got to the test and I was like, I can figure these out. No, the one time that did happen where I got totally hosed, it was a thing I should have been prepared for, but it wasn't like a class. When I went to music school, when you show up to school, they assess where you are to see if you should be in like honors music theory classes. And so when you get there for like orientation, you take a test. And it's supposed to be like a basic test, like, oh, any dummy could pretty much solve most of these problems. But if you do really well, you get advanced. I turned it over and I swear to God, the first thing was just an empty music stave. And then they started playing music on the speakers and they were like, all right, write that down. And I was like, what? And everyone around me was like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, fuck. How did I get into music school? Guys, wait. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Guys, it's in treble clef. I don't even know what this is. Whoa, shit. I just immediately gave up, and it was kind of funny because I remember they would just do stuff. They'd be like, they'd play a chord on the piano and be like, bong. All right, write what notes are in that chord. And I'd be like, oh shit, you're all, oh man, god damn it. I keep thinking it's a joke, but it's not a joke.
You should have busted out your finger kind of egg bud.
Start writing math. Like, eight. I got eight.
I put in the hydratic equation.
I had that same experience in a much sadder degree. Like junior high, we had to take a music class. As a person who didn't really learn much about, I learned a lot more about music playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band than I ever had known prior. So like, I remember sitting in the class and the teacher started playing something and she's like, all right, name all of the instruments or instrument types you hear. And I was like, okay, drums. And not drums. I was like, I don't know, there's been strings or don't pianos have fucking strings in them? Are they strings? I don't know. What is a piano? Is it a string instrument? I don't know.
It's kind of a string instrument. It is strings that make the sound.
So in junior, I had no idea. So I remember writing down drums and I was like, guitar? It was like some classic song. It was not guitar.
Old small wooden guitar. Old medium wooden guitar. Blow stick.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, there were flutes and all kinds of stuff. I did not know a thing, but I remember like listening to it and I was watching everyone else write shit down. I was like, all I had was drums, and then I started writing, I don't know, I had like the start of a letter and I was like, I don't even know what word I'm writing because I don't know.
Did you just make up instruments?
I knew like three instruments back then, you know, like I had no experience with music.
The guitar, the bitar, the snitar.
I knew there was guitar, bass, drums, flute, and saxophone. Phone and piano. That might have been the only instruments I knew.
Oh, I don't know why this hilarious TikTok I saw was, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he always makes statements. arguments that, you know, sometimes aren't true, because he's like, he didn't get Dune because they were, you know, in Dune you hit the sand and it resonates.
Oh, I saw this.
And then he's like, if you hit sand, no one's gonna hear it. And it cuts to someone buried in sand in the distance and a hand like 10 feet away going on the sand, and you just hear a muffled voice go, I hear it.
Yeah, no, that was so funny. He's so like, he does the Neil deGrasse Tyson thing where he's like, it's sand, it's, if you thump sand, no one hears that, you can't thump sand, sand is sand, sand. And then the person is just like, thump. Well, and you can hear it in the video too, you hear they're like, they're hitting sand and you hear the thump audibly. That's so fucking funny.
That guy needs to go touch some sand. He's never been out there.
He's only addressed sand theoretically.
Theoretically, I think, is a word. It's like theoretically, but specifically about one theory.
Skrillet.
Skrillet's a bum rapper. What's it called?
Are you starting to say dubstep?
That's it.
Skrillet, the bum rapper. God damn. We're killing it today, guys.
I had a topic ready.
For anyone still in school, I have a handy tip. This is circling back to something we stopped talking about a while ago, but I just wanted to get it out there. Because it worked for my ADHD, right? I was in class and I would never pay attention. But the teachers always go, tap, 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 X equals C. They'll always do more emphasis when they're pointing at something that'll be on the test. And that's when you take a note. That's when you're like, okay, all right. They'll give it away.
Students, here's the tip. Only pay attention when the teacher mms.
Literally. No, I'm dead serious, because I would be not paying attention and they would go like, tap, tap. And I'd go, huh? And they would say something, I'd be like, And I would remember that thing, because otherwise I'm just daydreaming or falling asleep. And whenever they go, and then that would be on the test. And I would know that. And that's how I got through everything. I didn't really study that much. I did the homework assignments, but it's like, they'll always tell you what's on the test. They may not give a study guide, but they'll always be like,
it's like they want you to succeed.
Yeah, it's like, we're trying to teach you this thing.
Except for my philosophy of sports teacher in college. I will never forgive that man for wanting us to fail.
Why do we need to get the ball through the hoop?
I wish, dude. I was so excited for that class. Nothing has ever equaled the disappointment as far as school goes as going into that class, like, oh, I'm gonna have one really fun class this semester. I took like 2 or 3 senior capstones because I'm an idiot. I knew I was overdoing it. I was gonna have all these hard, like, graduate level classes, but I was like, philosophy of sports is like 100 level class. It's gonna be easy. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun. I cannot wait. And it was the hardest fucking thing I ever did in my life, because the teacher was just like, I don't want you all to have an easy time here and think my class is just an easy pass. I want you to have to work for it.
Man, he was onto you, huh?
I told you guys a story, haven't I, about how I took him to lunch and, like, basically told him he was a bad teacher?
Yeah, I remember that, I think.
I've never forgotten that man in that class.
I do find that confusing. Like, I get that college professors are not the same as, like, teachers. And teachers just want you to succeed. Teachers do it because they're like, I love teaching. I love kids. I want the kids to learn and enjoy learning and whatever, right? Professors are there because it's their job. They might be teachers, but they're not necessarily... I get that. But some professors, man, holy shit, go do something else. Like, it's like they're there to spite the students. And I get they're there to do their research or whatever, right? Like, that's maybe their main motivation. But why do they have to teach kids courses? Like, Jesus Christ, there should be an aptitude test or like a personality test or something where some professors are just like, half of you are going to fail. This is how I like it. Enjoy suffering. Let's begin. And it's like, well, that's not, I didn't learn shit from you. I hated you. I hated your class. You made me like the subject matter that you taught even less. Like, why is that? Don't do that. Okay, you're not a teacher. That's fine. But like, don't do that.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that it's exactly what you were saying, is like, there are people there who are at the pinnacle of their field that want to work in a lab, and the lab just happens to be attached to a college campus. And the only way that they can get a job working in the lab is by being like, all right, I'm an expert in the field. And the college is like, well, you got to teach our students. And they're like, oh, fine.
Let them just do the they're real smart. Let them do the fun, smart research stuff. Let the ones who don't hate humanity teach the humans about stuff. Like, Jesus Christ.
They're like the Dr. House of teachers. They just want the interesting things to happen. They're like, I'll tolerate the rest of you.
I would even be happy with House. House is a total a-hole, but he did not suffer idiots and he would not suffer mistakes. And he did teach. He just did it in a way that was as adversarial and shitty, but like, he wanted his people to be excellent. He just, like, wasn't nice. I would take that over a professor who is literally just like, I fucking hate you. Prepare to fail. And if you're smart, prepare to extra fail because I hate that you think you're smart. It's like, ugh, gross.
It might also be that they have PhD level classes that they prefer to teach, and they have to teach also the 101s. And they're just like these stupid fresh out of high school kids that they don't care about learning. So I'm not going to treat them. But it's like, yeah, they are at the top of their field. But it's also like these students want to be there. But yeah, there's a whole, I never went to postgraduate school.
None of us really did that, right? None of us would have wasted our time going to graduate school or law school or anything.
Hey. I have a doctorate. It's the wrong kind of doctorate, and my wife will remind you repeatedly that it's not a real doctorate, but it's called a Juris Doctorate, goddammit. And I do technically have a title. I don't get to be called Dr. Bob, but you have to call me Bob Esquire. Bob Meiskerm Esquire. That's me, baby.
Depending on subject matter, I do get teachers being difficult. Like, I had some really tough teachers in high school, but they were, like, difficult but fair. And I think that's where the line needs to be drawn. You need to be fair about it. My philosophy of sports teacher, not fair. The questions he asked, not fair. Nothing to do with learning. Nothing to do with learning the subject matter or approaching it. Nothing to do with philosophy. It was about finding the most obscure fact, putting it on a quiz or a test so that you would likely fail the test because he didn't want people to have an easy time. But, like, if you're preparing people to go to like med school or, you know, it's like boot camp, right? There's some fields where it's like, you got to be ready for things. If something horrible happens, you have to know and be able to react quickly. Like, oh, I got to stop the bleeding. I got to be able to do this. So I get things like that where it's like crucial that it's difficult because you need to be prepared for those situations. But like you said, some professors literally are just there to be smarter than you, remind you that they're smarter than you, not care about teaching you, and just want you to get it. I had a teacher in philosophy. It was logic. I think it was called philosophy logic, where it was basically like mathematics in philosophy, where it was like you had to solve these like logic equations. And he was brilliant. One of the smartest people I've ever actually met. Like, he could just see. He was one of those people, like, with the things flying around. He would see this complicated equation. He would, like, know the answer. Like, he could just immediately break it down and see the answer. And he would write the answer down. Because his brain just worked in that logic way. But for us, we had to, like, write it out. It would be, like, 30 steps to figure out the final solution. And you could tell that he was frustrated that it took us longer to solve things than it took him. Because it seemed like he had things that he wanted to get to teach, to talk about, to have like peers to work with him on to actually solve, that none of us would ever get to the level of being able to do. So he would teach like the 101s or the, you know, whatever, the 100 level classes. And you could tell he was just bored out of his mind going over the basics because his brain was just operating on a whole nother plane of existence than teaching basic logic rules.
What a dick.
He wasn't even necessarily intentionally a dick like some teachers, like you mentioned, are, but he wasn't social. Like, he had no social skills. He was bad at communicating, but like you could tell he knew what the fuck he was doing. He was a good doer, not a good shower.
I'm an academic grower, not an academic shower, as they call me.
All right. Very good.
It's also, I remember what I was going to say, it's that test taking is not an accurate representation of knowing the subject matter.
No, it's not.
It's rote recitation and actual execution of it.
I'm an excellent test taker.
I'm a pretty good test taker too, because yeah, that's kind of the thing where I learn best by doing, and I think everyone does. Like, it's really easy to solidify knowledge that occupies all of your senses. Like, you see it, you hear it, you touch it, you interact with it, you taste it if you want. Did you know, we talked about this before, you can look at anything and you can imagine how it'd be to lick it.
To lick what?
You know, you can know the texture of anything by looking at something in your room or on the wall and imagine licking it, and you'll know what it would be like to lick it.
Have you ever done that, made yourself uncomfortable? Like, if there's like a screw sticking out of the wall, you imagine yourself licking, like you hit the screw, and it's like you can feel it cut your tongue. It's like, ow, fuck.
No, yeah, I can totally do that. That requires no visual imagination. It's just a purely sensory thing.
Can you feel yourself hitting something unexpected too? Like, you're licking like a wall.
I guess what I'm imagining it, if I'm like, oh well, I would lick around that. I wouldn't lick that. That's what I think. I don't think, oh no, a screw, I can't steer. There's no brakes on this tongue. Yeah, no, I just wouldn't lick the sharp thing. I would lick elsewhere or stop before I got to it is what happens in my mind. But you know, everyone thinks differently, I guess.
It's like, in my brain, my tongue can go anywhere. This sounds very sexual, this conversation.
As a person with a toddler in my house, I could tell you It's a very base human instinct to want to lick stuff. It's an interesting way to figure out sensory things and figure out what the deal is with stuff. Because your fingers only feel so much, but you're licking and putting in your mouth and tasting, whole other world of experiences. You can learn a lot by licking stuff.
Go out there and lick your dreams, everyone.
Lick your dreams, lick your nightmares. Yep. I like your theory, Mark. Is there a thing that you don't know what it would be like to lick? And I'm not saying like, oh, what's it like to lick like lava or something, but like I'm thinking right now, I have a desk pad on my desk. It's like kind of a neoprene kind of thing. I'm not 100% confident because I've never actually licked it. I don't know what it would be like to lick this in the same way of like, I don't know, drywall, or is there anything that like you don't know how it would be?
I mean, it's all basic house stuff, so I can't really see anything too crazy. So I really don't know. Lava, I guess. I don't know what it'd be like to lick that.
Not good.
There's no brakes on this tongue. I can't stop.
maybe that thing would happen. What's it called? The Leidenfrost effect, where a barrier of steam would form between your tongue and the lava, and you'd get like, it would be like really slippery and it wouldn't burn you.
What about like certain textures? Like if you feel like a velvet fabric with your fingers, I imagine if you licked it, you'd have a different experience than you would with your finger, because I feel like the liquid on your tongue would change it a bit. But I can't fully get it, but I feel like it would be.
Wet velvet is kind of gross.
I don't know if I've ever felt wet velvet, so I don't know if I can. My brain can't quite go there to wet velvet right now.
I have actually licked velvet in real life, I can tell you, so I do know that one, but that is a weird one.
I need no further information anyway. That story can end there.
It was a pillow, okay? It was a pillow. Calm down.
It was undies. Is there velvet underwear? That'd be so weird to feel like, oh, I don't like the texture of velvet. Filling up between my thighs would drive me nuts. Oh, God, it's horrible.
What's this episode about?
I never got to my topic because Mark was like, I want to keep talking about VTubers. And then we've gone everywhere except for my topic. That was the postponement, but literally we never got to my topic. And now we're like, so I got to save my topic for a different day. This just ended up being like, dudes, we haven't talked in like 2 weeks. Let's catch up.
Did you give any points? Who, what's happening?
I do have points. Is it time? Should I just go ahead and go through the points?
I mean, you're the host. I don't know. I'm just.
Should I end this train wreck of derailment? I guess I can. I should have known by my intro that this was going to go off kilter today.
Can I just say, I really enjoy, I feel like we've had a few of these episodes recently where the small talk just dominated the entire episode and we got to like an hour in and we were like, well, I guess we'll just end it there. I enjoy these a lot. These are very fun.
I do too.
And I was also surprised when the first one of these came out, I was like, oh, the subreddit's going to hate that shit. They're going to be like, this episode's about nothing. Blah, blah. Not a word. Everyone was like, yeah, just as funny as ever. Who needs topics?
These are good for us because it's like, we just get to catch up and talk about whatever we want to. It's just like our friendship time just coincides with like content time. We're like, let's just catch up like friends do, but also I guess film it and let the world watch. And I think that we get to just genuinely talk about whatever the hell's on our mind. And whenever you have a passion or something, like an idea that comes to mind and we just talk about it, it's less like forced into like thinking about a topic. I don't know how to describe it.
Just lick each other's brains for a bit.
Did I dream there was an episode where you were like putting things in your mouth, Bob?
Oh, no, wait, no, there was an episode where Bob was putting things in his mouth. I remember that.
There was an episode where it was the ick or something, and I made a joke about that, and I was like, if we ever do video, we'll do an episode about me putting things in my mouth. That was a lie. The subreddit has been talking about that since forever. You don't want an episode of me putting things in my mouth. One, I have a small mouth. Two, that's not that interesting. There's not even a lot of stuff in my office that hasn't already been in my mouth. So sorry to pop your bubble on that one, but
I didn't mean to crush you, subreddit, but now you know.
No, yeah, subreddit, now you know definitively. Suck it.
Yeah, this has been fun. I've got a topic for next time. That's cool. I mean, I'm a topic ahead, and I guess I can go ahead and share the points and we can see where we ended up. I currently have me at -2 for TikTovies, TikTok movies. I don't know, something about the.
That's fair.
I lost 2 points for it. Bob, I have you at 11 points for baby roller coaster, beans, no brakes, grower, not shower. Those are the notes I wrote. Mark, I have you at 12 points, which I guess is one more than Bob, for wheat, IMAX, VTube, college nips? That's not what it says. Killian nips. Killian Murphy's nips. And then I just have ... by points. I don't know what that means, but ... points.
I'll take them.
Really extensive note-taking. I appreciate the details.
Look, I did about as good as I normally do. Mark, you win by one because Bob asked for a point count and that's where we were at. So congrats. I guess that's where this one wraps up. Do you have a winner speech?
Yes, probably. I mean, I have to, right?
Not really. I could give your winner speech.
No. I don't want any kind of technicalities coming in on the bylaws that maybe I don't fully understand. I really got to read that constitution, you know?
Nah, that sounds like a waste of time.
Speaking of, the season is ending, right? We need to have a season winner.
No, we were going to postpone that, I thought. We were gonna roll the end of the last season into the beginning because it has already happened. We could go back and just retroactively have a seasons 1 through 3 champion.
Tell you what, I hosted this episode. I'll declare myself season champion.
I think maybe the numbers might actually be in your favor because I have not won a lot towards the last few weeks.
You both say that, but I swear when I look at the thing, it looks like we're pretty like rotated through pretty clearly.
Wait, I'm pretty sure you stole 10 wins from me and thus are way ahead. And also I'm way behind.
Yeah, and we were going to do that because it was going to give us a chance to reset. Okay, so I think Wade. All right, Wade is the winner. I hereby as winner, I'm humbled by this win, and I feel like I do deserve it, but I feel undeserving. And I promise to one day reach the lofty heights of deservishness that is encoupled with the winning status of me.
Bob, do you have a...
I'm going to call this a not winner speech, because I'm not giving loser speeches this year or ever again, because I'm not a loser. I just didn't happen to win this episode. That's okay, because it goes on. It never ends. This not winner speech is sponsored by me. I'm here to tell you about me. Me is good. Me is on the internet, and me is available on many places. Just find me at them and watch me do them, and you will enjoy it. I can guarantee it. As me, I can tell you, me is good. Me.com/distractible. That's me.com/distractible.
Going there right now.
Wait, well, you know, I don't want to steal your thunder, Wade, but I'm going to. You know what we can say for the first time in months, truthfully? Merch.
What?
Merch.
Say it again. Don't tell me that. Say it again.
I don't want to make any empty promises, but I'm like 90% sure merch exists. I got bad news. You know how we've been saying the website link? I think it's different.
People have been waiting there for weeks. Refreshing.
The editor definitely put it on screen visually and also definitely used an AI voice to say it correctly or something like that.
Just a text-to-speech. Doesn't have to be AI. Microsoft Sam.
Or editors, record your own voices doing impressions of us saying it.
Yeah, Sam, use your own voice. I'm your boss. You have to do that. Anyway,
damn, the boss card coming out from Bob.
DestructibleStore.com.
Anyway, no, I think it's true. I think that's real. And that's my point.
That's it for this one, where there was no topic, there were no rules, there were points, and there was two winners, kind of. You can find us online, Mark at Markiplier, Bob at Meister, and me at Minion777, or LordMinion777. Like Bob said, merch. Mark will be hosting the next one, or maybe we'll have a topic. Maybe it'll just be more of us chilling, killing, talking, Killian Murphy style.
Killing?
Stay tuned for that. Until next time, don't forget to tip your nips.